Blog Talk Radio.
Opportunity here is 2 days in a row. You got Jay, you got Beaches on the line. How's it going, Beaches?
I'm hungover. How are you?
Hungover. I'm doing good. You know, it was a rough morning. We got some technical difficulties in terms of the power to my apartment. But besides that, I'm doing all right. So you went to your party last night. What happened? What were the deets on that?
You know what? It really turned out to be just a bummer, to be honest with you. It was supposed to be a bunch of guys, a lot of guys that I knew, I used to work with or I didn't know. And a friend of mine, actually more so a neighbor too, he doesn't live too far, he put it together. And the idea of this gathering was really just to drink and take a lot of shots. But as things happen in life, people bailed on the party before said party even took place. So by the end of it, it was just me and my buddy who tried to put it together. And we went up to this local barbecue joint and drank a lot, drank pretty heavily. I can't remember all I drank, but I know I had a lot of shots of Fireball.
Worse.
Yeah, Fireball was the shot of the night. And then by the end of it, I was drinking a lot of IPA beers, and I really don't remember a whole lot. I know we came back to my house and drank a lot, and he proceeded to put on my Dallas Cowboy full-size on-field helmet and prance around my house with my helmet on. I really don't remember much else. And then my wife came home, and shenanigans ensued. And I think she tapped out on it, but anyway, so yeah, it was still a fairly good time. It was a little disappointing. He was a little upset about, you know, people can let you down sometimes. You think you're going to have a big, you know, if you were to throw a big party or whatever, you expect a lot of people to show it. But I mean, but then again, to me, whenever you introduce alcohol, I think that's the beginning of any healing period. So it was still good times. I can't remember most of it. I know I woke up this morning. I had a blanket wrapped around my head, and my head was throbbing. And my house was cold as shit. But other than that, good times, I guess. Good times last night. I'm not drinking today. But how was your night/morning? You said your power was out.
Well, last night, you know, I said I'm gonna make some soup, and I'm gonna sit here and I'm gonna make it. It takes a couple hours to make the soup that I make. It, you know, you gotta do a lot of boiling, add more water.
It's that soup. An eventful night? It's soup. It's soup. You fucking add water and you boil and you throw in the contents. You give it 10 minutes and then it comes out. You could put anything you want in soup. Soup is soup.
This soup right here, this soup I'm making right here, this is takes me about 5 hours to cook it, so I can get the flavor from the meat in the soup.
You just have to marinate it, is what you're telling me. You're marinating your soup. Just say you're marinating soup.
Something like that. Okay. Yep. Marinating the soup.
There you go.
So I turned on a movie last night, watched a couple TV shows, got my soup boiling, and I blinked, or what I thought I did was blink, and the next thing I knew, I hear the smoke alarm going off. I fell asleep. It was 4 a.m. I had left the pot on overnight. It had boiled down to nothing.
And
it was smoking. And it was 4 a.m., and I was for sure that the fire department was coming because I live in an apartment complex, and I proceeded to hear my neighbor above me bang on the floor because the fire alarm was going off. Not that he was cared that, you know, I could be dying or anything, but just that I had woke him up in the middle of the night.
Yeah, I'd be pissed off too. And I would also be banging on the floor, and I probably wouldn't come down.
Okay. So I could have been dead. He's banging on the floor. I fell asleep, and I was fucking burned on the house last night. At any rate, then, so I ruined my soup. That kind of pissed me off a little bit. And this morning, I got the hot text from Bishes saying, "Are you awake?" I look around. The goddamn power's out. My alarm didn't go off last night. Like my wake-you-up alarm, not my fire alarm.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question real quick. Who uses to me, it sounded like your alarm is like a plug-in alarm. So you still own like an alarm clock. Is what you're telling me.
I own. I usually set two alarms. I have a regular alarm clock, and I set my phone alarm. I'm a heavy sleeper, so I like to wake up twice. Yeah, I need something to wake me up twice. One alarm isn't good enough for old Jeremy. He'll be late for work and get fired, so he needs to set two alarms to make sure he can make it to work in the morning.
Okay, well,
I usually set an alarm on Sundays, but of course, with me falling asleep, without being prepared, I kind of just went and laid down, and I woke up in the morning, and then I see my stove's flashing, my microwave's flashing, and there's this fucking a monsoon going on outside. I mean, it is just a monsoon.
Well, it sounds like to me that maybe your neighbor got your power turned off. That way you wouldn't burn down the whole apartment complex. Or maybe...
it could have been true. It could definitely be true.
Yeah. Or some shenanigans ensued. Maybe that's part of their the protocol. Fire alarm goes off, you lose your power for the night. I don't know. It could be weird. I'm glad you didn't burn the apartment down. You did ruin your suit, but I guess you could just settle for Campbell's today.
Settle for Campbell's.
Yeah, Campbell's.
I did go. I was making Filipino soup, so I had to go to the Filipino market yesterday.
Hmm.
And as I went to that Filipino market to pick up the ingredients for my soup, I realized that I had turned into the Terminator.
The Terminator.
And let me explain to you why I say I turned into the Terminator. You ever know, Terminator's kind of got that heads-up display. He can kind of examine a body and, like, determine threat or not threat.
Hmm?
When I walk around, and there's a significant amount of Asian women around me. I've got the yellow fever. I prefer the Asian women, if you weren't aware of that, for those of you on the show. I'd like to suck a fart right out of an Asian woman's asshole. It's kind of the move I like to make and let it season right in my mouth, Those are the moves I like to make. But as I noticed, as I was walking inside the Asian restaurant or the market, it was like I was examining every woman and determining if she was a viable partner. And just programming that information into my brain, I thought it was very interesting that I went to a primal mode and turned into Terminator and examining everybody in the building to determine if they were a viable partner.
Well, that's very interesting, and I'm a big fan of the Terminator movies. I guess that's okay. Maybe that's normal, as long as you didn't, pull a Terminator and walk in with no clothes on and go up and scream for somebody's clothes or something. Then I guess you're fine. I guess that's normal.
I'm a bigger gentleman. If I want a woman, the first way I'm going to get her is not walking in naked. That's the way to get her to run right directly away from me.
Yeah, but then you'd be a true Terminator then if they're running away from you. Just go on and get you I believe they use the AK-16, AR-15, but the AK-47, excuse me, is the gun they use. So you could just walk around with that, and that will make up for whatever issues you'd have, because it's a very nice weapon. I've had the opportunity to shoot it. But, I guess that's normal. I think, but at the end of the day, you still have to approach them. So I don't see, even if you say, okay, no to this woman and this girl's good, you still got to approach them at the end of the day. So did you do any approaching? No weird approaching. I mean, not like, no, I'm going to get thrown out of the store or arrested approaching, but I don't know. I think a market or a grocery store is probably the best place to meet women. Especially in the city. So, I mean, your stomping grounds are definitely spot on.
I didn't do any approaching there. I'm going to go to Whole Foods today, and I'm going to maybe do some approaching there. Yeah, I do a little grocery shopping for the week, so I have some food to eat and do some prepping and some cooking. But no approaching. I'm a slow mover, so first I got to do my reconnaissance, and then next week I'll move in for the actual plan of attack.
Well, I mean, that should hope that works out for you. So I don't know about the area you live in. I don't know how people, how you have your oddballs everywhere you go. So I don't know how odd people are there. I just know how odd people are here in the DC, the DMV area, and that's odd enough for me. But I wish you luck on that. But luckily, got a show today. Power's on. Top five for today. And we can go right into it right now. Why not? Top five for today. Just right off the top of your head, this was an interesting one that I literally thought of like just a couple minutes ago before the show. How about top five favorite shows of the 90s? And I went with this topic because people don't really watch TV anymore. It's basically internet. Everything's internet based. Everything's Netflix. It's the instant gratification world we live in. But when you sit back and think about it, the TV days are over as far as ratings and as far as people sitting down as a family or whatever and watching it. I mean, people will still go out and watch a good movie, but people won't sit down in their house and watch a television show as it airs anymore. Everything's DVR'd and everything's when at my convenience as far as watching. But I thought the 90s was a great era for TV shows, and I don't want to limit it at all. But I mean, and you'll my picks are probably throw you off a little bit, but I'm there were shows that I love, so I'm just gonna get right on into it. There's no real order to this, but I guess first and foremost, the Cosby Show. And I know yesterday we had our continuation talks about Bill Cosby and his alleged rape allegations. But at the end of the day, that was a real good TV show, and it was a TV show that black people needed at that time frame.
Is that 90s or is that 80s though? It aired from 1984 to 1992. I mean, I guess it's technically the 90s, but the bulk of it aired in the 80s.
Oh, good point. I don't know. I mean, the reruns still aired too. I guess you're right about that. Well, I'll make that a bonus show then. But yeah, I mean, when I think about the 80s as well, but the 90s, I mean, the Cosby Show was still the king. It would have the highest ratings for, I think, I don't know if it was of any TV show, but it had one of the highest ratings in the 90s, and it was just that early part of the 90s. I'm not sure how it was doing in reruns, but I mean, that was still a favorite. But another black show then that I thought about was The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That was I believe that started in 91. I might be wrong. It's been so long, but it was a 90s TV show, and I think Will Smith delivered. A lot of people didn't think a hip hop artist could come out and act and do a good job at it. And he kind of broke the barrier down for people like Queen Latifah and LL Cool J and a lot of other hip hop artists. So that's definitely a favorite, and it came from a young black male's perspective, and it didn't involve robbing and stealing and theft and all the things that we would have been thought to be associated with, both in life and in art. So I think that was a great show, and it's still one of my favorites to watch in reruns. It never gets old, but the clothes, you can see the styles, how style goes from point A to point B, and it's like, what the hell were they thinking? But then you think, and then when I think back on it, I think, well, I wore a lot of that same type of stuff. So fashion's always going to be, you know, down the shitter as far as when you reminisce about a TV show or a movie or whatever. But Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is up there. Finish out my list. Let's see. We got Saved by the Bell. Saved by the Bell was a great show. It started in the 80s, but it hit its peak in the 90s. And it ended in the 90s as well. So I mean, that was a great show for, you know, I think teenagers in general of all races and whatever. That was a great show to me. Let's see. New York Undercover. This is a big surprise for a lot of people, but New York Undercover was a show that came on Fox. A lot of people probably don't remember it, but it came on Fox television, and it was about two undercover cops in New York. They always, like, you know, the undercover cops, they dressed the fashion for that time period, they had it down to a T. And I was a big, you know, I've always been a big law enforcement guy, but I enjoyed that show. It was an urban look at how undercover is and how it is in New York, and I think they did a pretty good job. Most of my knowledge, most of that show was shot in New York. It didn't have as long of a life of a show as I'd want it to have, but I think there's still at least one network out there that runs the rerun. So if you haven't seen that, check it out. It's still a really good show. That was a favorite of mine for the 90s. There were so many shows. If I had to pick another one, I think, which I know I need at least one more, but and this is kind of falling on the same deal. And this was a really short run, but I'm gonna have to say another NBC show, a black TV show, In the House, with LL Cool J. That was a great show. It was very short lived, and that's where he kind of right the hills of Will Smith. But it was a real funny, it was a good wholesome show, and it you know, I'm a big fan of what he did in his music anyway, but I thought it was a great show, and I thought it didn't get over the hump, so to speak. It didn't get anywhere, but it was a great show, and it was more of a late 90s show, but it was, I enjoyed it. And then I two more shows I'll add, and these are kind of come from the same umbrella. But I loved both the Ben Stiller Show and In Living Color. You can't, and In Living Color is a show that really, you know, to me, it really took comedy to a different level. And I'm not really sure of when In Living Color started. It may have started in '89. I might be a little bit premature on it, but. It was a 90s show. I know it lasted until at least 95, I want to say. And the Ben Stiller Show is kind of under the same umbrella. Did not last long, but it was the beginning of Ben Stiller's, his career. And it was a funny show. He had a lot of funny. One sketch I remember off that show was Crackling Crotch. And I don't, like I said, I don't, you might not be familiar with most of these shows, but it came out on DVD as a series, so you can buy it. You could probably stream it on Netflix, but that was a great show. I loved it. And I'll throw one more in there because even though it's supposed to be a top five, but there were so many shows, but one more real quick, I would say Martin. Martin still being rerun, and it was probably the greatest, hands down, maybe the greatest African-American comedy 30-minute show, period. So Martin is definitely up there. So I would probably take Cosby Show out. I think you're right. I think it's more of an 80s show, and replace it with Martin. But yeah, those are my top seeds for the 90s. Very, very strong shows. And like I said, the bulk of them still get rerun to death, to hell. So there's no way, you know, you could ever not miss it or not find it. But I'm just curious on your picks, if you have any or any thoughts. I know you were born in probably like the 1990, like you said. And so a lot of your stuff might be late 90s, or it might be a younger appeal. I'm not sure.
That's what I was going to say. My shows are going to evidently be clear in, you know, kind of what I choose because of the age that I was, right? So, you know, I was born in 1990, so you're kind of getting 0 to 10 years old is kind of what I was watching. Some of this may be embarrassing, and some of it may not be embarrassing. Whatever it's hard to watch in the 90s, but I'm going to give you my top. I'm going to give you my top ranked seeds here. If you're prepared for that, I mean, I'm going to give it to you in order, and then I got some honorable mentions here at the end. So I'm going to say number five. A lot of you guys may or may not have watched this. It's one of my favorite shows. It's a true 90s show, and it's Sister Sister.
Ah, I like Sister Sister. It was a great show. Cool. I watched that cool. as well.
So yeah, I mean, Sister's a good show. Obviously, you guys know it's about two twins. They've kind of grown up at this point. I was always a fan of Tia. Tamara was all right. They are identical twins, but I still take Tia over Tamara as kind of a top seed
Not yeah, but how did you know? How did you know which was which? You didn't
one
know
has the mole,
which.
One has the mole, yeah. And one doesn't have the mole.
I didn't care about the mole. I didn't care about that. They all the bodies were the same. I couldn't tell them apart. I could care less, and I don't know.
Okay. Then I would say, then I would say, next up on that list would be my number four on that list is going to be Boy Meets World.
Ah, you know what? You want to know what? I'm going to shoot myself in the foot because Boy Meets World is definitely one of my favorites. I don't know how I missed out on putting that on my top anything. I'm not going to lie, I'm a really big Boy Meets World fan. It probably should be up there. It probably should have been number one, to be honest with you. I did grow up off of that as well. The ABC and the ABC family, I kind of put to the side a little bit, but I was thinking more so, I think Saved by the Bell was just that it show for that mid-90s era. Boy Meets World kind of came out of nowhere, and it was a great show, but I think it kind of got overshadowed for a little while because of some of the other shows on TV. It wasn't, in my opinion, until maybe four seasons in, people started to pay attention, and then by the time the show ended, everybody knew that show and could also put something there. And you know what? You want to know the truth of the matter? I probably should have made it a top 10 list because I'm shooting myself in the foot again. As I'm thinking about Boy Meets World, I'm also thinking about Seinfeld. Seinfeld's hands down the greatest comedy.
I can't believe you didn't mention that one. I can't believe
you
didn't mention that.
Just punch me in the face because I don't know why I didn't put that on there. Because I just got finished watching Seinfeld. Seinfeld's the most rerun show ever. I think it beats out like I Love Lucy at this point. But anyway, I'll let you continue your list. But yeah, I think I screwed my list up.
So I'm gonna give you two things. I'm gonna tell you this is what I watched in the 90s, and I'll tell you this is what I watched in the 90s, and then I'll give you this is what I watch now from the 90s. I'll give you some honorable mentions for that.
All right.
So I'm getting a little echo. You hear the echo?
Just a little bit, but it's fine.
So, that was number three for me on the list. And this is, like I said, this is what I watched in the 90s. It's got to be Home Improvement. Tim the Toolman Taylor.
Yeah, and I watched a little bit of that show. It was a good show, but his shtick got bad, and I got tired of him. And I was like, fuck
him. Yeah, I was like seven, though. So it was
I understand. And that's all good. And I mean, I was, you know, probably in my teens, but yeah, and the dude that stood behind the picket fence, it's just horrible. Like I want to knock that fence down. I hated that.
Okay. Number two on the list is going to be Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, I used to make fun of that show. I was not a real big fan of that show. I don't think I was a fan at all, but it was like just Buffy the I don't know. She just seemed very whore-like to me.
I would encourage you to watch it. Encourage you to watch it today. I've rewatched it since the 90s, and I think it's a very good show. And I'm shocked that this wasn't on your list. My number one seed of 1990s is going to be the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Damn it! Yeah, you're right. See, I was thinking. I was thinking more primetime and stuff. But Power Rangers is definitely another seed for me. I did love the Power Rangers, and we had talked about this on the show already, so I'm not going to get too much back into it. But basically, long story short, I was probably like 15 or 16 years old watching the Power Rangers, and I just feel horrible. And like, but I was great. I mean, by the time Power Rangers came on, I was already in my teens. I was like 13, 14 by the time the show came on. And I even remember sitting back watching it thinking, is this right? Like, is this okay? Like, because I was so much older than the target crowd that the show had. But I was still into it, you know. And I was into it for quite a few years. I think I'd gotten my driver's license and I was able to drive and date women. And I was still watching the Power Rangers. I think that's how bad it was.
So those are my top five seeds, you know, for kind of what I watched back in the 90s and kind of what I got into. There's a couple honorable mentions I want to say that, you know, you brought one of them. That's Seinfeld, obviously. I watched a ton of reruns in the 90s. I'm not going to say I really was a Seinfeld person as it was on air, so I really can't comment on that. The second thing I'd like to mention is Friends. Neither one of us mentioned that. I think Friends is a great TV show. Didn't watch it when it aired. It's a great reruns. I mean, it's a classic. You can't mention Seinfeld and not mention Friends in the same breath, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you. I wasn't a Friends guy. I tried to watch it. Oh, and now that we sit here and talk about it, there's a lot of honorable mentions. And I think about my list, I want to take my list and I want to piss on it and I want to throw it out the window. So I think I'm going to reject my previous list, and I'm going to have to come up with a better list. Because as I sit here and talk to you, I think about Married with Children. It did start in the 80s, but it was definitely a 90s boost. Like, it was a 90s show. You know, a lot of these shows started in the mid to late 80s, but had back then television was successful. There was nothing else like it. There was nothing else to match it. So people were able to take a show, and it could run 15 seasons. And to my knowledge, Married with Children has had the longest running, or is currently still the longest running show of any 30-minute comedy, like, primetime show, I believe. I don't think there's another comedy primetime show that has touched it season-wise, I believe.
I will challenge you on that. Say, okay. This is one of my other honorable mentions. Simpsons. 25 years.
What show is this?
The Simpsons.
Yeah, but that's animated, and it's still on TV. I'm talking about like a sitcom TV style show, you know, 30 minutes that's on TV. Simpsons, I didn't include it. I am aware of The Simpsons, and it's still on TV, and it's dominant. But from a cartoon standpoint, what's that?
It's a primetime television show.
Yeah, and technically you're right, and I'll give you the technicals, but I just mean like a show where you've got, you know, a group of people, you know, just like any of these other shows that you see on TV, like King of Queens, or even with Seinfeld. Seinfeld, couldn't touch Married with Children. Seinfeld went off the air right after Married with Children, but it didn't. Married with Children came on before Seinfeld. So it still beat it out as far as the number of seasons it's had, you know, from an actual real life cast. But yeah,
right, I've got the top 10 longest running sitcoms. You ready for this?
All right, go ahead.
You ready?
Yeah.
Of all time, so it says. So what do you think? All right, so give me. All right, I'll just tell you. I'll go on the list. Number 10. Everybody Loves Raymond, 9 seasons, 210 episodes.
I hated that show. It didn't deserve to go 9 seasons.
Okay. Number 9, Friends, 236 episodes, 10 seasons.
Okay.
Number 8, The Jeffersons, 11 seasons, 253 episodes. Here it is on number 7, Married with Children, 11 seasons, 262 episodes.
Yeah, 11 seasons. So, I mean, if that's number 7, you're telling me there's 6 more shows that outlasted it. So what are they?
Number 6, Frasier. 11 seasons, 264 episodes. Which is, if you truly think about it, Frasier is a spinoff of Cheers, which is pretty crazy. And speaking of that, number 5, Cheers. 11 seasons, 270 episodes.
Huh.
Now we're gonna get a little older on you. Number 4, I've never heard of the show. My Three Sons, 12 seasons, 380 episodes.
You never heard of My Three Sons? That's right.
I've never heard of it.
I mean, I never saw it, but I've heard of it. Yeah, go continue.
You won't agree with this one, but number 3, South Park, 14 seasons, 202 episodes.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's animated. It's a great show. I love it. I'm a big fan, but that's not what I'm talking about.
Number 2, The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. Never heard of it in my life. 14 seasons, 435 episodes. Number 1, overall, with 21 seasons, 464 episodes, Simpsons.
Yeah, and like I said, with that list, if you look at it, minus Frasier and minus Cheers. Those two are I'll give it to them. Those two shows beat out Married with Children for that era, and just be kind of in the same era of TV. So yeah, I'm definitely wrong on that. But when you look at The Simpsons and you look at South Park, they're animated to me. I'm not including that. I understand they're successful. They're going to be successful. It's a lot easier to speak into a microphone and draw your animations, or especially with technology today, you just computerize your animations and have a show be successful, as those both of those shows have pushed the limits. It's easy to do that compared to having to be out in front of a studio audience or whatever the case is and act out and you be the centerpiece. So those shows I put to the side. Very, very successful. I love them, but I'm putting those to the side. Now, you're talking about all these other shows. Those shows are products of like the 60s and 70s and I believe the early 80s. And back then, I mean, what else did you have? There's no smartphones. There's no computers. There's nothing. You still got mail being delivered. You didn't have email. You didn't have fax. You didn't have any of that stuff back then, for the most part. So all you had was TV as far as entertainment. So that speaks highly for what I was saying, where basically the shows that from way back when the seasons lasted longer because more people watched TV compared, you know, to 2015 where we're at now, how many shows are, you know, successful now? There's not a lot of TV out there. TV shows that are real successful where people watch it. The Simpsons and South Park are still very successful shows. They have withstanded time. But look at how many crime dramas and stuff they have on. And those are fairly successful. And the reason why, to me, is because people are interested in that. But it's like your 30-minute comedies are dying out. Like the show Blackish. I love Blackish to death, but I don't think it's got much more life left in it, you know, but just because people don't watch shows like that anymore. You know, the 30 people. I don't know if it's ADHD, but people just don't watch those shows anymore.
With that being said, let me give you the top 10 all time. Not just so earlier that was sitcom. Let me give you the top 10 all time of all TV shows that have aired, and I want to get your thoughts on this list as well.
All right.
How's that sound?
Okay.
All right. So at number 10, with 14 seasons, 431 episodes, you have Bonanza.
Hmm.
Obviously, that's a 1959 to 1973 rising.
Yeah.
Number 14, showing up on this list again, The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. So that was from 52 to 66 with 435 episodes. This one's interesting here, in my opinion, with 15 seasons, 331 episodes, ER.
Hmm.
We roll right into the present here. You have, with 15 seasons, 330 episodes, CSI. The original CSI.
Okay.
16 seasons, 354 episodes, Law and Order, Special Victims Unit.
Yeah.
Yeah, South Park and Lassie, and you have Law and Order, of course, at 456 episodes in 20 seasons. Gunsmoke and The Simpsons rounding off the top of the list. Lassie, I think you're right, though. I think, you know, you look at today's world, it's going to be harder for places with the age of Netflix and Hulu and, you know, no appointment-based television for these seasons to last as long as they are.
Yeah, and I think it's the makeup of a TV show, too. I mean, I'll admit, I spent a lot of time as of late watching a lot more TV than I probably have in 10 years, even. And I watch a lot of the Law and Order shows, especially the Special Victims Unit. I just happen to watch it. I don't know if you've ever watched this show, any particular season or whatever. But if you sit down and you're having your breakfast, your lunch, dinner, whatever, and you're sitting down and you turn this show on and you just watch the beginning, it grabs you in. Because if you're like me and you're like a mystery guy, and you want to see how, what is what, and you want to put two and two together, so to speak, then it drags me in. So my ADHD, because we're all ADHD in my opinion to a degree. If you own a smart device, you're ADHD because you're used to multitasking and you do a little bit of this, and you jump to that, you jump to this, and then jump to that. You very seldomly finish a project that you're working on. Like, have you ever played like Angry Birds and you're playing a little bit of that and then you just stop playing it and you do something else? I mean,
right.
You know, that's the kind of type of world we live in. But when I watch this show, it grabs me for the beginning. So I just want to know what happens. So I'll sit down and watch all of it. I mean, I'll find myself not wanting to watch it. And I sit down, I watch a little bit, and then I'm just hooked till the show's over because I want to know what happens. You know, it's a story, and you want the end of that story. But the story is so compelling that it's like, yeah, I need to know what happens. And it's one of, there's very few shows that do that anymore. You know, when you have a comedy show that's 30 minutes or an hour, it's kind of like, whatever, because it's you know, you get tired of the jokes in 5 or 10 minutes, and then you're done. I mean, how many of us, you know, have DVRs full of shows that we like, and we're sitting on episodes we haven't watched just because, you know, I found something better to do, or maybe you're just not as into it as you were. So, I mean, it's definitely an interesting time. I think TV itself is going to die out, and I think we're just going to have all this online shit, and all we're going to do is be online all the time. But question to you is, or do you feel like I feel? I feel I spend a lot of time online, even if I don't want to be there. Do you feel that way?
No, definitely. I mean, I'm on my phone constantly looking for articles to read, which is crazy. You know, like even a couple years ago, I used to be big into Social Network, and actually, I'm more now into, like, you know, perusing and seeing if there's any Redskin articles or see if there's anything new going on in the world or what's going on in sports. Like, I try to stay up to date and that type of stuff. I guess it's our version of the newspaper, though. So, you know, you used to wake up and you see your parents, you know, have that newspaper open, perusing through, kind of looking at the metro section or doing this and that. Whereas we have our phones, and that's how we get our news, and that's what we're looking for, to stay up to date or stay impacted. In today's world, I think we want to be entertained 24/7. And I'm, you know, at times I'm on Instagram, I'm watching a TV show that I've turned on via Netflix, which means I wanted to watch it, but I'm also, you know, reading a news article, watching a YouTube video, I've got my laptop on, I've got my TV on, I got my phone on, I'm texting. We have to stay occupied at all times. Yeah. And I think that's just where we've ended up.
Yeah, and I find myself the same way. I do this maneuver. I'll be sitting here at night, have my TV on, kind of sort of watching the show that I'm into. I mean, I got my Xbox One, so my Xbox One controls everything, which I think the Xbox One, I'm a big Xbox guy over the PlayStation, and I think the Xbox is just a better entertainment console. So I'll be sitting here watching TV, and then I'm watching TV, then I'll say, you know, I'll give the Xbox a command to, you know, to do something else, and I can multitask all that, but while I'm sitting there doing that, I'm sitting there on my laptop looking something up. I got my phone in my hand. I'm either texting or looking something up to my left. And then my iPad, I'm probably not using, but it's sitting to my right. So I'm just sitting here. I got all this technology around me. And then, like, if, you know, to me, that's crazy. That's nuts. Because it's just like it's so much going on. And I'm sitting in the middle of it. And it's like there's sometimes I look down and look around and question myself. Do I really need all this technology around me? Because I remember the days growing up, I was born in 82. I'm definitely like an 80s, 90s. Kid, and you know, I spent a lot more time out in the dirt. I spent a lot more time outside playing baseball, football, basketball. I was a very athletic kid, very competitive and athletic kid that played sports and didn't come back in the house until, you know, until like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, you know, and then I'm the kid that's getting whooped because I'm late to do my homework, you know. And then I go the next day. But here's the thing, is that how many kids now or kids growing up do you think are like that, you know, that go out and physically do something when they get out of school or whatever? And I'm not even talking about teenagers. Teenage years are a little bit different because for me, when I was a teenager, and I know we're kind of going, it's kind of sneaking into another topic here, but it kind of makes you think about life today and how things are and how people interact, you know. I mean, if TV shows are dying out and then people have technology all around them, then that means they're getting less exercise, and then they're just kind of doing their own thing, you know. Is the driver's license the most important thing to a 16-year-old anymore, or is it the smartphone?
I mean, I guess, you know, I kind of was raised up right as, you know, the technology kind of boom hit, I'd like to say. I got my first cell phone when I was in the seventh grade. So I had an Nokia phone.
What did you do with a cell phone in the seventh grade?
You got to be able to call your friends. You got to be able to text your friends. I remember my parents gave me my phone and said, hey, this is just for emergencies. Don't give me your number. We all know that was a lie. I'm going to give every one of my friends my cell phone number. So I've had a cell phone since I was about in seventh grade, and, you know.
Yeah, that makes no sense to me. I got my first cell phone when I was, I want to say, 17. But even then, I didn't really use it. You know, I didn't really start using a phone until I was probably 18, 19. But here's the thing, too, is where, I mean, I understand that point, but what is it about the new wave of technology that takes away from the old school, as I consider old school thought process of, hey, I'm young, I'm going to go out and you know, get friends together and go out and pick up a game of basketball or something.
I don't think it takes – the point I was trying to make was that I had a cell phone when I was in seventh grade, but I still went outside and played basketball. I still went outside and, you know, I had an Xbox. I had a I had a Nintendo. I had a PlayStation. I had an Xbox. I had a PlayStation 2. I had an Xbox – you know, I have Xbox One. All growing up, I had every console I ever wanted. But I would say until I started working, you know, 16 or 17, I always went outside and played, you know, like played basketball. We played football outside. You know, we did whatever. We rode our bike. That was something that I would continue to do. You know, when I turned 16, it's kind of like I didn't stop playing outside. I just started hanging out with friends going other places. And so I think, you know, when you turn 16 or 17, you have the ability to have a car. You know, you're kind of over the hanging out around the neighborhood. You want to go out and about. Today, I think the family dynamic has changed in terms of, you know, how busy you are and stuff. I think kids still do go out and play in some sense, but I think some parents allow them to sit in front of, you know, and play video games all day. I love video games, but I've never been a video game person where, like, I don't leave the house. That's all I do is play video games. I like playing video games if I'm playing with somebody else, not just by myself.
Yeah, and I think that deals with more the online part of it. I think maybe you're more in touch with the online culture. But I love playing video games too, but I was able to bounce it. I play video games and I go out and I play, you know, go out and play sports for 4 hours. But I think, you know, bottom line on it, I really think that today's era of kids and stuff, all that stuff we talked about is out the window. All they do is sit back on their smart device and sit somewhere and do that all day. I can only imagine what the school systems and stuff are like in any part of the country where a teacher's trying to teach and the kid's got his, trying to hide his smart device and he's texting or looking up something on YouTube or something. I mean, that would drive me nuts. There's no way I could be a teacher in today's world of smart stuff. You got a kid posting a video of the teacher online or some bullshit. I mean, to me, it's just it would be overload. I think what needs to happen is that if that indeed is where the culture goes, that homeschooling should be it. They should be able to get the same education off of their smart device that they're probably looking at anyway. So they could just sit at home, wake up in the morning, they log in to their school, and they proceed to do their school stuff right there. Because, I mean, let's face it, between the gun violence in the school systems and the ADHD, I mean, nothing good can come out of the school system these days compared to what me and you knew it to be when we were in school.
All right, no, I agree. But I even think back to, like, so I think, you know, I think people weren't being as smart, and there was a de-emphasis on things like recess, and I think people didn't realize that stuff like that was, like, us being active. I remember in the sixth grade, you know, I was still – my sixth grade was still a part of elementary school, and I remember we didn't have recess anymore, right? It's like, oh, you don't have recess anymore, and we're like, why not? Well, you got to prepare because in middle school you don't have it, but that's the time for kids to go out and be active and go have fun and go socialize and build those types of skills, and I think people need that. And I even think, you know – and that's why you have an hour lunch when you're in middle school. You know, like, it's time for you to go socialize and do whatever and relax. And I'd be interested to see what today's world looks like, because the first smartphone didn't come out until 2007. So that, you know, I was a junior in high school in 2007, senior in high school in 2007. And so we had phones, you know, you had, like, the LG Chocolate, and you had the LG Voyager, and you had phones like that, and you had the Palm Pilots, stuff like that. But the iPhone really didn't become popular until after I got to high school. I'd be interested to see what it's like today. I think, to your point exactly, like, do high schools allow phones to be in school? They would not allow my phone to be out in school, but can they stop it today?
Yeah, but you're missing the point. How would they know? How would they know? They're not gonna check everyone's backpack as they walk in to see if they have a smart device. I think some schools.
Well, they have it out though. What if they have it out? Will they confiscate it? In my school, they would have confiscated your cell phone if you had it out.
And same here. I think mine would have confiscated it too. I'm sure they have some type of deal like that. Maybe you have like ISS or something if you caught your phone. I'm not sure. But the way devices and the way technology is, I mean, you can have smart watches now. So you could have your phone in your backpack the whole time, and you could be using your Bluetooth system to operate your watch and just do everything off your watch now. It's to the point now where it's going to be harder to detect if somebody's doing something, you know, texting or FaceTiming or video chatting or whatever you want to call it, or any of that stuff, because at the end of the day, it's becoming untraceable now. It's very spy-like. It's the way technology is going. So I think it's going to come to a point where they're going to say, the hell with it. We can't police it anymore because it's becoming almost untraceable. And I think there's going to be a bigger thing to come out of it. And then we're talking years down the road. I think we got maybe 10 years before shit hits the fan on anything like that. But, you know, I mean, to me, that's where that's going.
Yeah, I agree. So I know at the end of yesterday's episode, I mentioned a term to you, and it was monogamish. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
So, I mean, I'll explain to you a second, but what do you think that probably means?
I don't know. I don't know. Monogamish, it's a descriptive term, so you're describing maybe the way a person is, some form of a way somebody's acting, I would think. To me, that's what it sounds like. You know, it's another way of saying asshole or something, maybe. I don't know.
So, obviously, you've got, monogamy is kind of the base term of that. Monogamy means, you know, you're in a committed relationship with one person.
Meaning one,
right? So, you're like, polygamy meaning two, right? So, you got polygamy, you got monogamy, and you got monogamish. So, are you in a monogamous relationship or are you in a monogamish relationship? So, there's an author I like to read. His name is Dan Savage, and he's got his own podcast, the Savage Love Cast, that he operates from out of Seattle, and he gives people advice, and he runs an advice column out of the Stranger magazine here in Seattle. He's got some national recognition for things that he's done. He runs the It Gets Better campaign, which basically says, you know, sometimes you get bullied and sometimes things are going on in your life, but know that as you get older, it'll get better. Basically, suicide prevention campaign is other things he does. But at any rate, one of the things he likes to talk about is monogamish, which means that most of the time you are in a committed relationship, but at times you allow things to happen outside of, you know, that one-on-one person. And I think we've kind of touched base on this in the past, but I want to get your opinion on, you know, people who say they're happy when they're in a monogamous-ish relationship, meaning, you know, it doesn't mean every day that they're, you know, they have they're not quite open and they're not like polygamous, but if their husband and or wife came to them and said, you know, we want to do X, Y, and Z threesome or X, Y, and Z this, they allow that to happen. And I think, you know my opinion, I believe that's the right way to live. I think that's the right way to go. I don't think humans are meant to be the same person, you know, the same person for the rest of their life, one person for the rest of their life. I don't think that's what type of sexual beings we are. Sex has a purpose in many ways, but sex also in some ways is just about pleasure. So what do you think about that?
Basically you're talking about being a swinger is the easiest way for me to describe it. Either you're a swinger or you're not a swinger. And I've known people, I'll be honest with you, I've lived with people who are swingers. I've lived with swingers before. I have never saw any of the sex acts or anything that they did. They never did it while I lived there. You want to know the truth? When I moved out, it's when they started having some weird-ass sex parties there. But they were respectful to me, knowing that, okay, I don't participate in that type of stuff. And my wife, of course, is 100% out on that. And you know, they were respectful, never had any issues out of them. But my whole thought on it is, you just said it yourself. You said sex or that no two human beings should be, held down because of the sex. And to me, I think marriage or marriage to one person isn't just about sex. It's about relations and feelings and getting to know that person. I think it's different. What you're talking about is a little bit more just if you're in a relationship period with someone and both of you decide, hey, you know, let's date other people or whatever. I think that's a choice on self. I think that's something where you and another person both agree to that. But you're still doing the exact same action. The two of you are relating and agreeing upon just like you would in a marriage. It's that what you're agreeing upon is to have sex with other people or to have a threesome or whatever. I think, outside of marriage, if that's what the two parties want, I think that's fine. But if I can't fathom being married and that being, and keep in mind the swingers that I live with, they also were married. You know, they married a different way. Their belief system's completely different. It's not like Catholic. It isn't, you know, it isn't anything to do with Christ. It's like they got their own church of, I don't know if it's of Satan or whatever. But they got their own belief system that supports their being swingers and doing the actions that they did or do or whatever. So I think it really is, it comes down to your belief system, and that's what I think. It depends on what you and the other person or other people believe in. I think it's his own culture, really. It's his own culture of the way it is. Either you're part of that culture or you're not a part of that culture. I don't have any ill will toward it. Everybody has their own culture. It's just like people who are gay and they, you know, how gay marriage just got legal all over the place and beforehand it wasn't. The world now sees it as a culture. It's its own culture, and there's nothing, you know, maybe one person that's something, they have something against it. But as a society, as a whole, society has accepted it, starting to accept it. And we, as people, realize that there's bigger issues than that. That is a lifestyle choice, whatever. It is what it is. And that's the way I look at it. It's your lifestyle choice. It's about your personal beliefs.
Okay, I agree with that. I think that's a good way to look at it. I think that we agree in some ways on that statement, and I think it's interesting when you look at that and seeing, you know, whose relationship lasts longer. When we know the divorce rate in, you know, the country today is more than 50% of all marriages end in divorce. And I wonder why. I think if people were to put more value in the emotional side of things, not the physical side of things, they may find their marriage lasting a little bit longer. Or, you know, just think about what they do before they do. I think that, to me, in marriage, the most important thing to me is the emotional connection.
I mean, that to me, real quick, I think that the emotional connection and the communication aspect, that is the most important. If you have no communication, you have no marriage. Then you might as well just say F it and leave if you can't talk to the other person. And then if the emotional side is all screwed up, then it destroys everything from within. So, to be married to one person, that's crazy. So I can only imagine being married to like three women, like some people do in those foreign countries, like I guess over in Africa or wherever, where you can get married to like five women at one time. I don't know how you would do that. That's a hell of an emotional battle.
I agree. 100% agree with that as well. I think it's some thought process. I encourage you, if you haven't, go take a listen to the Savage Love cast and hear his kind of opinions. And I think it's some good topics kind of going forward as we look. There's some things to talk about.
Yeah, I definitely check him out. I think whatever you think about how you should live your life, that's, then go for it. You know, that's part of the world and the different world that we live in. Just fucking go out and do what you feel is right and justified. We have 5 minutes left in the show. We 60 minute show, right?
60, yeah.
60? We can do another like 30, right? 30 minutes?
It is. I didn't know since we were running 30 minutes behind if we wanted to do the whole 90.
Yeah, we can do another 30. I had one, I think maybe one other topic I know I could speak on. Maybe you can come up with another top five if you want. I don't, I thought I had had one, but yeah, we can do another 30. Shits and giggles. The game start at 3. I know a lot of people talk about that. I don't. I care less about football right now because Cowboys aren't in it. They got screwed. So on to the next sport. You know, baseball's right around the corner.
So it sounds like we're going to take a 15-minute break, and then we'll hop back on, and we can do another 30. We'll get another episode going, and we can rediscuss what we want to talk about today and get a couple topics going.
Yeah, and that sounds good. I think that'll be good, and I'm hungover, so maybe I'll grab a sandwich.
I'm gonna warm up some food here and try to eat something in the next 15 minutes.
All you do is order food all day. You order food from. You spend a lot of time ordering. I mean, you live in the city, so I guess you could do that. But that's a lot. You order a lot of food.
Well, no, I'm probably gonna cook something right now. I went grocery shopping yesterday, so I have some food to cook. So we'll see if I can cook in 15 minutes. And we'll get this thing going again. Same shit, different day. You know what it is, man. It's the I Talk to Coded Show podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in. Really appreciate it.
All right. See you in 15.
Xbox, pause. Xbox, go to music. Xbox, pause.